Good afternoon. It's Helmut here, and it's the home run time, and the time is just 2 minutes past the hour of five, and as always, here to keep you company until the hour of six. How are you all doing this wonderful afternoon? As for us here in the capital, it's a clear sky, and it's somewhere in between being cold and being hot. I call it, you know, lukewarm. I don't know how, why, you know, what Luke had to do with it, but anyway, we only have an hour, so let's talk about something that we haven't spoken about in a while, and that is food. So I'm trying to educate myself to try to keep up with what's going on in Lutheran, and they somewhere along the, today was the last day of the local content policy, and one thing that actually led me to today's subject was a part of today's topic was part of today's discussion in Lutheran was how stringent the how stringent or strict or the when you are building regulations or when you are creating policies around the extractive industry, especially oil, you are talking about you need to come up with policies that are very strict, health and safety policy, not only how you how to extract or maybe what type of machines you're going to use, because the human resources is the most valued part of the which is again is the most important part of any industry, and the extractive industry, especially in the context of oil, is it's no different. Now, because of that, one part of the discussion of today they had was this industry, especially the content creation policy, the local content policy, must put in mind that internationally, globally, the extractive industry, especially when you're talking about something especially about oil and gas, it has a very strict health and safety policies. Now, if you have this is not a surprise. You know, this will not surprise you if you work in a mine or you work in vessels. But and also if you have been to NIMT, this will not surprise you, because you know that for you to be admitted, unless I don't know if their criteria have changed, but qualifying for the institution is not enough. You have to undergo a rigorous health test. After I went through that and I found myself sitting in the class, I'm like, you know what, I can just drop out, because, well, at least I know I'm healthy. Because they know that, and this is for a lot, for a lot of reason, some of which may be financial, and also, it's a lot of pressure working in that sector, because it's a lot of pressure. You must have a healthy heart, otherwise you're just gonna drop dead. And not only that, but also that means while we are saying, no, how should we prepare our business for the extractive industry, especially the oil and gas, how should we prepare our policies, I think today's discussion gave me today's topic that we're going to discuss here, which is culinary at home. I'm not a chef, nor am I a nutritionalist, but I was looking at because every time that I talk, that I try to talk about to people about health, more like eating healthy, like buying food these days is very expensive. Everything healthy is very expensive, and I've also operated in the same way. Like eating healthy is very expensive. Yes. And then I came, my ancestors slapped me in the face, like, which expensive? It's not expensive. It's expensive if you want to eat Europeanly healthy. If the only healthy oil you know out there is olive oil, then yes, it's going to be expensive. But if you factor in marula oil, if you factor in ngongo, then you see that it's not that expensive now, is it? But anyway, that is what we are going to dive into. And this information is, for some reason, it's not easy to find because there are not a lot of researches that have been done on the subject, especially when you look at the, when you look at our local cuisines or ingredients individually, when you try to find this information, it's hectic. And when you try to look for, say, caviar, which is literally fish eggs, a very common high-end delicacy, it's just all there. Fish eggs, ladies and gentlemen, per spoon, super expensive. Now, if that's how we're defining eating healthy, it's going to be expensive. But if we just say, how about we just go back to the roots? Just back to the roots. Because I know we have this perception that not motete. What is delele? No, what's that? That's for village people. We hear these terms all the time. That's for village people. I can't eat that. That's for village people. I can't drink that. But instead of just judging the book by the cover, which I still recommend that we need glasses, by the way. Native or local culinary schools are needed. I know we have a lot of native restaurants. We have restaurants for local food. And Lord, those ones are the ones that are struggling. You know, one thing that I've noticed, I don't know, maybe it's just the part of town where I stay, but I've come to learn that the best time to buy, the foods like pizza, KFC, Hungry Lion, is this time of the month. This time of the month is the best time to buy that food. Because even when you walk into any of these buildings, these buildings where they sell this stuff, there's not a single queue. You won't wait. You won't wait longer than 20 minutes. Unless you walk into one of these eating establishments and order steak. You guys must improve. The steak will take 25 minutes. A steak? And it still came back with blood. I'm like, waiter, here's the thing. I'm black and in Africa, so when I order steak, I want it. When I say well done, I mean half bend. Like, that's how cooked I want it to be. So there's a culinary wisdom dispute going on around us. Because first of all, the conception that local food is not healthy is the biggest lie we have ever told ourselves. First of all, most of the research that I used, the research that I'm looking at on Ngongo was done by Dr. Lee, a Canadian anthropologist. Canadian. So why are we graduating again? But anyway, I'm sure maybe there are those, there are a lot of Africans and Namibians that are doing research on this, but the information, it's very difficult to find. Like, really difficult. And then I also came to try to do a comparison between how what we call food, aka packaged food, because that's our definition of food now, and what we call traditional food. Again, there is no such thing as traditional food. There is no such thing as traditional anything. There is no such thing as traditional and non-traditional, especially non-traditional. The word non-traditional is non-existent, especially when it comes to food. That's my conclusion. That's the conclusion I've come to. Why? It's because everything you are using is traditional to someone. Maybe not you, but to someone. It is traditional to someone. If I... Now... say Celtic salt, for example, is one of those groups of salt that you find, you know, with a little bit of extra dollars if you get in the store and you find between the iodated salt, which is more like regular table salt, and you know, if you are like me, then you are into to the Himalayan pink salt, and you have a Celtic salt and all this. First of all, you're not gonna tell me we didn't have salt before, and I, you know, while trying to put all this together, I have, you know, I'm in my kitchen cooking yesterday, and I'm just adding salt, and I turn around the salt container, and I'm looking at Himalayan pink salt, which is mostly found not in the Himalayas. I'm told the name, the name itself, the salt is pink in color because it's extracted from pink salt. From pink rocks, salty rocks. Don't let anyone, maybe, don't let anyone tell you that, this one can heal this, you know, can chase away demons, maybe, but nope, it's delicious. Anyway, I turned the container around, and then I'm just looking at at where it was packaged from. It was packaged in Oshakati. Now in my head, I'm like, Himalayan pink salt in Oshakati? This is interesting. Now, the question now I'm asking myself this time is, before we were exposed to all this iodated salt, sea salt, blah, blah, what type of salt were our ancestors using? And by the way, I still have no idea whether, I still have no answer to that question. So if you have an answer to that question of mine, please, in just 6 minutes, as soon as it hits, 1720 aka 520, call in and please just help educate me and those ones that are listening that still have no idea where our ancestors found salt. Help us know where the salt came from, because I think especially with my generation now, I speak more about my generation because I have come, you know, it's something you begin to realize when you hit your 30s, that your body cannot just take the terrible dietary, terrible decisions you were making in your teens and 20s. Your body can't just take that anymore. So you now have to get to that point where you become, dietary, you gain some kind of dietary awareness. You're like, you know what? Well, this is just my way of, you know, this is just my body's way of telling me that I have to watch what I eat now. Because, well, you put in crepe, your body's gonna give you crepe activities. Now, again, back to my Canadian. So, I think we are doing great in comparison to where we were yesterday. I think we are doing a lot of progress. Now, because of that, because of the whole local content policy and how they emphasize the stringentness of the environmental and healthy health, environmental and safety measures that must be put in place every time that you start having oil and gas discussion. I'm like, okay, so everyone is thinking about how to set up a business so that it can align with this, with these policies. Everyone is thinking about how to make money from these policies. Are we thinking about how we can basically just be healthy so that we can enjoy and keep these policies in check? But anyway, moving on. The food now itself. It's a very interesting one when you look at it from a culinary perspective, on a native level. Just oil, just the oils, and in my comparison, I found out that the same way that you have coconut oil, which you can eat, it's very good and healthy for you. But last I checked, coconut plants are more native to the Caribbeans than, most parts of where most of us, you know, find ourselves today. So now that means God, Charles Darwin, Mother Nature, whatever idea you subscribe to, did not put coconut, trees in the Cayman Islands and leave you Namibians to high and dry. Nope. He gave you a type of oil which is just equally, if not even more healthier. So let's look at oil. Plants. Coconut oil, very native to mostly the the Caribbeans. Olive oil, parts of Greece. And parts of Spain, Greece, Spain, I think. Yeah, Greece and Spain, and the Americans also like. But, the thing is, what is native to us, what is not native to us, which we are enjoying, like olive oil, for example, and of, of its world-renowned health properties, and insanely high price in the shop. If you have seen a 2 liter of olive oil and you look at the price, you're not going to look at that again. Yeah, but instead of just, I'm not saying stop buying olive oil. I'm just saying you're telling me we don't have an equivalent of that. And then I'm now, digging around, and then I come across my very local native plant. It's known as mangongo, or is it mongongo? But we just call it ngongo. It's also known as mangeti. It turns out the oil from that plant, the oil in that plant is highly nutritious. And the most interesting enough, the most intensively researched oil plant that I was able to come across that is native to us is marula. Not just marula, marula oil, but not just marula oil, but just marula as a plant itself. It's an intensively researched thing. And credit is going to go a long way here. Now, it turns out, I'm going to read for you a review, or that's based on an article that was, that you can find online under, what's that one? Springer Link, it's sort of like provides the abstract, which is in other words of saying it's an introduction that dives into sort of like the marula tree itself. Let's look at what we are missing by saying that traditional food is only for village people. Actually, now I understand why village people are very healthy. And then you come to urban area and we're allergic to everything, including life. This review critically evaluates literature on the approximate composition of nutritional value of marula. Mostly the fruit, but if you can chew the tree, go nuts. But the fruit here is what I'm actually more interested in. Yeah, now marula, in comparison with other tropical and indigenous fruit, in order to identify areas of future research, more like what else do we want to know? Because if you look at the same way that you have coconut oil in your lotion, and you still find coconut water. In other words, nature provides you with an ingredient that you have multiple uses. In other words, you can use it for your skin, check. Use it for food, check. Honey itself has been used as a, I think, moisturizer since ancient Egypt. So, flax seeds also, by the way, the oldest time, because of this jelly-like structure. I'm like, this is interesting. So not only can you eat it, but it can also smoothen your skin without the burning toxicity aftermath that comes with it. I'm telling you, native wisdom, nothing beats native wisdom. But let's dive into the marula literature. It was found that nutrients and the content processing methods of marula fruit varied greatly from a study to study and according to place of origin, soil, climate, handling, analytical methods used in the time of in the time that lapsed and after harvesting before and the analysis that took place. Now, of course, one thing that especially when you start, when you look at the comparison between olive oil and marula, or, olive oil and basically sunflower oil, which is these are two common, oil that you can find in most, if not all, grocery stores. Only just one of them more expensive than the other. One thing that you are going to see is that one of the reason why olive oil is world renowned for its health properties is because it's cold extracted. In other words, it's not heated up to thousands of degrees during extraction. It turns out when you just, overcook stuff, you ruin its health properties. But still, I'm not eating rare steak. Not a chance. I'm still boiling it to suit my Africanness. My ancestors have been eating it. I'm still alive, so I'm going to draw a conclusion from that it's healthy. But climate also plays a role. The type of soil it grows into also plays a role. Now, marula fruit pulp is reported to have vitamin C, which is the same nutrients it turns out you find in orange, which is also plays, turns out, a very important role into your building your immune system. You know, I laughed a lot when I came across that because I was like, so instead of, so you are telling me we have been living with marula this whole time and it contains vitamin C, which helps with the immune system. And the COVID-19 came, we all ran to stores to buy immune boosters. All we had to do was just to spend time educating ourselves on local wisdom, and voila, we would not have needed, maybe not as much, immune boosters. But, let's go with that. I think, instant porridge kind of mentality. Convenience is our problem. We don't want to work towards acquiring something. We just want it to fall from heaven like manna and then, take it from there. Now, we're just still in marula oil here. Now, this marula oil, in my language, we call it murwa. And it's one of the abundant, when it's somewhere between September, October there, just towards November, if my memory serves me correctly, you find that these fruits are just falling everywhere and they start to smell. It's just birds that are eating. It turns out those are rotting immune boosters. Now, because native knowledge has been abandoned, and also reading, we are allergic to that. Long life education is not our strong suit. Long life education in everything else, but what is native to us, that, if you ask me, will be our downfall. And now back on that. The analysis pulp is reported to have vitamin C content higher than that of most fruits, ranging from 62 milligrams per 100 grams, and that's about that's about 5 to 6, depending on what you are measuring. That's about 5 to 6 tablespoons. This content also. Capacity is a very tricky thing to measure because 5 liters of water may not be, fill 5 liters of water to capacity. And how do I put this? If you put side by side 10 kg of maize meal and 10 kg of sand, you will see that 10 kg of sand will look a little smaller if you just do the measurement. But which one is going to be heavier? Of course, sand, because it's more compact. So that's also plays a very big role in measurements. Anyway, per 100 milligrams, you have 62 milligrams per 100 grams of that is of that is vitamin C, and over it ranges from 62 to 400 milligrams of vitamin C per 100 grams. Okay. Clearly, from marula oil alone, you can see that we have all the healthy food we need to survive. You have those that are growing in nature, and you have those ones that we can plant. Marula 3, for one, it doesn't need watering. And let's put a pause on that. I want to tell you a story about Ngongo. Now, I had all kinds of business ideas in my head. Now, if there's a Kavango listening, I'm just giving them free business idea here. Everyone where I come from understands one thing. The best way to go and take Ngongo from the bush as far as you want is go looking after goats. If you have, say, 20 goats, goats eat Ngongo like, Ngongo nuts like no man's business. And what goats do actually is something very interesting. So they eat this Ngongo nuts, their raw form because it has multiple layers. There's a hard shell inside. It had like two shells. There's the oil and edible one inside, like deep inside. And then there's a really hard one, which is sort of like protects the seed inside. And then it has a soft cushion, which is sort of like spongy. That one is also edible. We call it kuya, which is, you can make juice out of it. You know, this whole time I've been telling myself why I'm healthy. Turns out I've been eating local food my whole time growing up until I started throwing in, processed stuff. And it's not that there's something wrong with packaged food. It's that when you turn it into a staple food as in a daily basis, it becomes a problem. As in everything, too much of everything is just not safe. Yeah, now, back to Ngongo and goats. You go in the bush with goats. When you come back, you have Ngongo in their kraal. Or is it a barn? My English vocabulary here is losing me. So now I was thinking, so the best way for you to basically come up with a farm of Ngongo, as in crop farming, is have a farm as big as, as big as you want it to be. And then have at least, 50 to 100 goats. They'll be doing the harvesting for you. Because all you just have to do is, as soon as, this Ngongo is ready and it starts falling, you let them in there to eat all of it out. And then they will come. And the thing is, and the beauty part of it is, after they eat it, their digestive system clears out that cushion, and when it comes out, it's just a solid shell, and all you just have to do is crack it and find the oily, the oily nut inside. All you just have to, like, we have all the solutions. I'm like, my God, why didn't I think of this when I was in Kavango? But anyway, well, can still go back. So all you just have to do is have a farm, farm with goats and Ngongo, and you have all the healthy oil you want. Now, that part really shocked the Moses out of me. Because, again, this is native wisdom. It's known in the Kavango that the best way for you to have Ngongo cleaned out, for, because it's very easy, it's very difficult to crack when it has that spongy layer on. But it's very easy to crack when it has that spongy layer on. But when it's all dry, after the goat's digestive system cleans the whole thing for you, it becomes very easy to crack. Guys, goats are not only good for kapana, it turns out, they are also good for harvesting Ngongo. In other words, two birds with one stone. You are not feeding them. They are eating the Ngongo and then giving you, after they, their digestive system clears out the part that is more like less useful to you, because that part is also edible by human. I've eaten it. especially when you mix it with milk, it becomes beautiful. And Ama 2000, gather around. Let me tell you the best way to make, as long as you are not lactose intolerant. Take fresh milk, forget the one in the shop. Go to the farm once, for the love of God. Go to the farm and take fresh milk and find the baobab fruits from baobab trees. Crack it open and take that white stuff inside, put it in a container, and then fill it with milk. Just, I recommend honey, which also you can find, by the way, in the wilderness. Again, only if we were not allergic to everything green, minus spinach. Now, okay, didn't mean to turn my afternoon show into my morning show. The thing is, I'm just super exciting to learn all these things, which I thought I knew, but apparently I didn't. What we see, what you're going to see is that take that white stuff from a baobab fruit, crack it open. There are no snakes in there. It's something actually very delicious. Put it in a container, put in fresh milk. Just do your measurement and then add in honey. And let it sit for, let me say, 24 hours for it to soften, and then just shake it until until you start seeing that brown stuff. Those are the seeds. Well, those ones you can throw away. Or maybe crack it open. Maybe there's oil, but I'm not sure if that one is edible. Now, take that, you'll come up with a white, with white gooey. It's not gooey. It's just delicious. Put it in the fridge. The following day, you have the most delicious. Those ones that grew up eating this will tell you that you have the best yogurt ever. Preservatives free, colorants free, artificial sweeteners free, just you and Mother Nature. Healthy, ultimate. Again, my excuse for not eating healthy every time I have that discussion is it's too expensive. It's not. It's expensive when you don't have your native knowledge of your not native knowledge and definition of what eating healthy is. If you have the European definition of what eating healthy is, it's going to cost you. And you don't blame the grocery stores because they have to transport the olive oil from Greece or Spain or the US, and they have to put it in the glass, and they have to process it in their own factory. So they are putting it, they're not going to do it for charity. Nope. They're not going to do it for charity. They will charge you. So now, let me put this in the form of a question before I take my call. Is eating healthy really that expensive? Because I also came across a page of, it was 2016-2017, of the Ongwediva Trade Fair, where someone was showcasing marula oil. But you know how excellent at marketing the West is? Because they have managed to convince us that everything that's ours is not healthy. The only ultimate healthy stuff is the one they give you. That's how capitalism works, guys. You can't blame them for that. Wisdom at its best. And then you have Mupani worms. Now, before you start saying, no, those are insects. I just can't eat that. Then don't eat sushi. Forget sushi. No, don't eat caviar, because caviar is literally fish eggs. If you are comfortable enough to eat fish eggs, you are comfortable enough to eat your native food like that. Unless you want to go rah, 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 then yeah, sure, go nuts. But then don't complain that it's expensive, because caviar, for the love of God, that's the most expensive food I've ever seen. For my budget, it's just a little too much. But if you can afford it, hallelujah. Now, marula oil. Let me just wrap that one up. So it has up to anywhere between 60 to 400 milligrams per 100 grams. So 100 grams is again, it's capacity here. its capacity. So it's not a black and white. So it all comes down it can be anywhere between 6 to 10 tablespoons. And now we all know what a tablespoon looks like. So, and although most of us, that's the one that we use for tea. Now, oh boy. Now, is eating healthy that expensive? Now, marula fruit is also reported to have an antioxidant capacity between 8 to 25 milligrams. And antioxidant is antioxidant is basically something that you find, for some reason I keep reading in every food ingredients that are more like nutritional value that I look at. The way that it was explained to me is like this. There are chemical reactions taking place in your head. This is actually where covalent and ionic bonding comes in, if you have done grade 8, grade 8 to 10 physical science. So what happens is there are electrons involved. I swear I don't know how to simplify that much further. The thing is, every time that you put chemicals together, there are chemical reactions that are taking place. Now, what happens is, there are two numbers that balances this, that brings about the stability, according to basically basic physics, that brings about the stability of an electron. Helium is the only one that is balanced by two, and that's only because it only has one shell. It's balanced by two electrons. The first shell is filled by only two electrons. And then anything from the first shell to the last one, they are only filled by 8 electrons. So if you are eating something that has basically been super processed, what you are basically doing is putting in, more like unstable electrons that will need oxygen. Now, when they get in the system, they will salvage oxygen from their surrounding. So they will be stealing oxygen electrons from from your cells, making your cells unstable. Now, marula oil, what it does is get in there and make sure that nonsense like that doesn't take place. It gets in there and make sure that all the garbage that you were eating all throughout the week that are stealing electrons from electrons from your cells to balance themselves, leaving your cells unstable. Marula oil gets in there, and then marula oil and other types of food that are actually antioxidants gets in your system as charity donors, just giving free oxygen to your cells that have been robbed of their oxygen electrons by your cooked food or over processed food, blah, blah, blah. The science behind it is amazing. Additionally, marula oil is reported to have an antioxidant capacity between 8 to 25 nm. Those are measuring systems that are just too scientific for me. And the thing is, it also has, it's also a good source of protein, oil, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, and all these are minerals needed by your body. I thought it was just a very sour fruit that is useless after that. It turns out the oil inside is packed with healthy stuff. All that is not being shipped in from China, Greece, or Spain. It's just rotting right next to our, back door. But because we lack the local wisdom, the native wisdom behind it, we just decide, it's from the village, therefore it must be unhealthy. Really? Quick question. I'm not sure about, I've never been to Spain, but I know one thing. No one in their right time, I've never been to Greece, but I don't think the farm of olives, where your olive oil and olives are coming from, is in the middle of Athens. No. It's far outskirts of the town, so it's basically village. Now, I'm going to feel like I'm roasting olives here. I eat olives all the time. Have you tasted olives? If you eat them for the first time, you're going to spill it out. You're going to spit it out. Because it's a little like cheese. It's something your taste buds have to adjust to. So why haven't we packaged marula oil? Marula fruits again? Oh my God, it tastes sour. Oh really? Why do we hate ourselves this much? Like seriously? Hey, good afternoon. Good afternoon. Hello.
Yes, very much.
Good afternoon.
How are you?
Fine, how are you?
It's okay. Maongo.
Oh yeah, like my name. like that that's the best that's the best way people mispronounce my name. Most of them just go straight to Mahango. Now I have to explain. Mahango is the national park. Mahongo is my name. There's a big difference. And please chime in.
You know, when I'm talking about
marula.
Marula.
Yeah.
You know, those are one of the best. Even when it comes to taste of the food, when you cook it with. Did you try to eat it with a chicken, mountain chicken?
Oh, yeah, I have. 2016 Tsumkwe. Never forget.
I'm telling you. Just imagine those old people, they know how even to prepare. I think they even pack it with.
Who do you think prepared it for me? even when I was gathering this information, I had to call her. Because I know that in my language it's called Murwa. Now I was introduced to the oil. You know, when I was in Tsumka, I met this wonderful lady, Mehilene. Shout out to you, and and she made it for me, and I was like so. But I first ate it with fish, and it's delicious. Now, there is that knowledge out there, guys.
It was
dry fish. Now you are getting into my diet.
You're like already having the pizza waiting for you after the show. But you remember, I'm speaking the truth, man. It's not only about the oil.
Olive oil.
Look, even in the nut, which you are getting from like watermelon and the matanga. I don't know how to pronounce that one in English.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, those are the most nutrients when it comes to even the what the baby were. Those one were like starving. Then you just prepare them for that meal. I'm telling you, with a week, that it has already recovered.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same also with what when it comes to Mopani. You know that you can pound the Mopani also.
You can pound it? I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can pound it. And make also like like a katete.
Oh, so you can make soup out of it?
Oh, very much. And you feed that kid with your dying for malnutrition. I'm telling you, that kid will recover and then you are like not even a week or 2 weeks. That kid will already recover. Because those are. They are containing a lot of vitamin.
Mm-hmm.
And we are not really, I'm telling you, I don't know what our people are, those who are doing research and what do they do research when it comes to this food of ours. So what I'm telling you that we bend minds to eat everything.
That is ours.
Including ourselves. Yeah, which is ours. Do you know that if you put a mungome, you prepare a mungome and then you put those, before they become oil.
Mm-hmm.
Those, it's like after you extract from the what, that is outside cell. Then you don't need even to pound it. You just put mix them with our mango meal.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make a mungome, my friend. Yes, sir. It's something else.
Okay. You see,
those are our food for staple food when we are baked there. We don't know much about the bread.
And it's healthy. And you know what we do? You know one funny thing that we do? We move to the urban areas and keep telling everybody eating healthy is expensive. It's not. It's expensive the Western way.
Yeah. then we have opportunity to go back to our staple food. But we are not looking at the
bakery. No, that one is for the village.
Greek salad, all those fun things. That we are just adapting and we are making more than whatever. We are trying even to take over than the people who introduce us to those foods.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to make a salad, and we. But when it comes to Omungome, nobody knows that you can even make Omungome with drink or pop. Then you change it, you change even the color.
Okay, now you are giving me ideas.
I'm telling you, this is a reality.
All right, man.
Okay, Chapman.
Yeah. And now that was a marula. You see, per 100 grams of ngongo nuts. Here's the thing: contains about 20 grams of protein, about 57 grams of fats. And it's also rich in calcium, it's rich in magnesium, zinc, it's rich in copper, it's rich in vitamin E. Again, guys, when we say malnutrition, are we sure one of the contributing factors to this is because we have changed our definition of what is food? Because if our definition of food only refers to what's coming pre-packaged, then we perhaps have to look into that. I think defining what food is, redefining what food is in our own language, in our own terms, that will help us a lot. And again, zinc, magnesium, copper, not the copper that's being mined. Chemically, they are the same. But you don't want that one anywhere near your digestive system, the one that's in a mine. You don't want that one. On a chemical level, it turns out it's good for you. Just don't drink the one from copper smelters. There's a big difference. That one you have to, that one is coming in packaged by Mother Nature herself. She measured the ingredients. She knows what's too much for you and what's too less. She knows all that. Disobey her, you will pay the price. All you just have to do is take a couple of steps back and say, Grandma, Grandpa, I graduated. I have my PhD in this and that. Now I want a PhD from you. And the question I'm just going to keep throwing at, because I now only have like 10 minutes. Is eating healthy really that expensive? Because what's the point of us getting to 2027 and 2030, of which we are projecting to start come out of our extractive industry, especially with regards to oil and gas? What's the point of getting there when you're blind? What's the point of if it's an accident, at least let it be an accident. Because what I'm just talking about here is eating healthy the native way. Because what I'm looking at here is our problem is, unless it's coming in a fancy bottle with some fancy words on, it's not healthy. That definition of healthy will be the end of us. We have healthy at home. And I know, no, I mean, you can't bring this here. Yeah, let's learn to go to the village, guys. Just learn to go to the village. It's that simple. I think, that's the part of me that makes me appreciate the Red Line. Because there are products that you are not allowed to bring over here, which in turn forces some people, some of us that left home 10 years ago, to go. Because we know that if we ask for the product, it won't be cross Mururani. It's forcing us to go. So on the bright side. But now ngongo, oh boy, two There's something in the way that it's eaten in most, if not all, parts of Kavango. I'm pretty sure about the Hampukushu because that's where I'm from. You can take the nuts themselves like that in there. They usually come in a sort of like brownish kind of a very small layer, more like a plastic, but it's a little thicker. You can take it like that, boil it, and you can eat the spongy part of it, and then you can crack it open. You can find the oil inside. I'm telling you, we have multitasking kind of things going on naturally. It's just that, well, the wisdom is not with us. When it comes to native knowledge, allow me to say, to go sarcastic one more time. I found a meme online that said, what is the best way to call someone stupid? The best way to call someone stupid without making them realize that you're calling them stupid is by telling them that, my brother or my sister, wisdom have been chasing you, but you have been running faster. For us now, that's us. That's us. Native wisdom, local wisdom, indigenous wisdom have been chasing us, but boy, have we been faster. Especially those of us that are in urban areas. We have been faster than indigenous wisdom have been chasing us. Now, assuming I don't get into trouble for that, all we just have to do is look at the type of food you eat. Just write down a list of, I have 6 minutes left, so. In 6 minutes is, Dwight storms in with his business and economic segment. Before I leave, I want to just give especially my generation a little bit of a sort of like a ignition. Write down a list of all the types of food that is traditional to you, native to you, not native to the Japanese, the Chinese, the Spanish, the Portuguese, no, what's native to you. Write it down and look in their nutritional value. Just look at their nutritional value. And you'll understand that there is not a lot of a big difference between the one that you have packaged in the shop and the one that you have lying down at home. We have even changed the name. It's not mutete anymore, it's mutete. Now, what on earth is mutete? It's mutete. That simple. Delele. With its jelly-like, delele, that that's more a delelis is Zambezi, it's a Zambezi term for it, as far as I know, because in my language we call it dimbutu, which is a very funny name if you understand the bush. But for me, being healthy or eating healthy must be, let's start with that. Let's start with that. But let's start by defining it in our own, if you are in Mpukushu, define eating healthy. Balanced diet. That's the word I was looking for. Balanced diet. Define balanced diet in Mpukushu. Define balanced diet in Oshuambo. Define balanced diet in Rukwangari, Yei, Lozi. Just define balanced diet in that language. And then you can, you will understand that it's not really that expensive. It turns out, at least I'm gonna, I'm just gonna keep parroting that until someone corrects me. But I think we are saying eating healthy is expensive because we are defining eating healthy the Western way. Because when you, go around asking random people what's the most healthiest oil you can eat. I bet you 9 out of 10 of them will tell you it's olive oil. Which, yes, olive oil is healthy. Now, it's extracted according to what? Celtic salt is extracted, it's healthy. If you look up Celtic salt, one thing the interesting you'll come across is that it's healthy because it's extracted according to the, hundreds of years Celtic tradition. which I, you know, which I found very embarrassing. It's extracted using Celtic tradition. So it's a traditional salt. Just not our tradition. And now we have extraction methods of marula oil, extraction methods of ngongo oil, extraction method of pretty much every type of food that is native to us. But we don't know how to do that extraction. Now, to crack open a ngongo shell, there's something called kushinda. Is the most it's safe to say is one of the most dangerous job. Now, I don't know how my wife is gonna handle that. You take an axe and let the sharp edge face you, and then you take a piece of metal or a piece of wood, and then you take that ngongo nut, and then you put it on the sharp edge of a knife, and then you heat it until it crack open, and you have to calculate your heating strategy. I'm telling you, our grannies are geniuses. When it cracks open, it has to crack open in a way that it doesn't, you know, you don't cut open the nut inside. That's how the proficiency of it is measured, at least where I come from. When you crack it open, you know, like grannies will tell you that you don't know how to shinda, guys. I don't know the translation of it. I know kushinda is not something that's done in Europe, so I'm not surprised that they don't have an English word for it. So when you crack open, grannies, when they are teaching you how to do it, I know how to do it. I know. When you crack it open, when you hit the ngongo nut and when you crack it open, the trick is not to crack open the oily part inside. It's not that something will spill, no, because when you crack open the oily part inside, you have some wild, very soft, mushy stuff inside, and that's actually, you can eat it raw, you can roast it. It turns out we have a whole list of ingredients locally, and I learned one thing today. It turns out you can make soup. Has anyone tried making biltongs out of is it biltongs or maybe, I don't know, Russians or burevors out of diungu, which is known as mupaniwems? Has anyone tried that? Nope. My cousin, on the other hand, he calls that knickknacks because that's what he likes to eat when... It's either when you're watching a movie, especially the dry ones, he'll just put them in the pocket when he's going to soccer practice, he have them. I'm like, okay, so that's brilliant. So, for me, I'm gonna sign off by saying that I don't think eating healthy is going to be expensive if we define it in our native language. Because if we define it the Western way, and then they will start telling the most nutritious type of food that you can, or maybe the most nutritional things you can put in your mouth is, you have spirulina, lentils, which is basically beans. Then it's not much of a big difference. And I like lentils. And one thing I'm going to leave you with, if you are listening from the village, the people that are spending money trying to eat healthy, one of them you are listening to right now, are spending $24 per 500 grams of pumpkin seeds. Guys, pumpkin seeds. All you just have to do is call granny and then sell you a pumpkin. You eat the pumpkin. And what do we do when you're eating a pumpkin? You throw away the seeds. Really? I mean, come on, guys. Come on. And pumpkin seeds, if you bring it here, chances are very high the seeds will be thrown. But you know what? When you eat that at the village, they will keep the seeds, dry them, turn it into soup for the next day. Nutritious. Professor Lumumba, I came across one of his videos this morning where he said that we, the quote-unquote educated Africans, we are the most dangerous people. We're the most dangerous people because we are being educated the Western way. Therefore, we are interpreting everything the Western way, including balanced diet. when we say balanced diet, you have to eat this amount of oranges. Really? Oranges? What's in oranges? Vitamin C. Where else do you find vitamin C? Oh, look! Marula oil! So, now, I'm not saying don't eat oranges. I'm just saying it's not the only one with vitamin C. Come on, guys. Pumpkin seeds. 500 grams, man. I'm spending $25 per 500 grams. $25 per 500 of pumpkin seeds. So, indigenous wisdom, whether I talk about it in pharmaceutical terms, whether I talk about it in culinary terms, indigenous wisdom wins again. But then, altogether now, indigenous wisdom have been chasing us, but we have been faster. For those of us that are in, especially those of us that are quote-unquote educated and in urban areas, indigenous knowledge have been chasing us, but we have been faster. With that, I'm going to leave you all hand you over into the hands of Dwight with the business and economic segments. And he will take over from there. Thank you very much for tuning in wherever it is that you are listening from. Indigenous knowledge is the true power. With that, until tomorrow, same time, same place, here on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, you all have a blessed day.
Hey Namibia, introducing the stylish new Vintage Veer look that now looks even better in your hands. Behold this bold design. Okay, to be 100% real with you, maybe we shouldn't have introduced the new Vintage Veer look on radio, because you can't see this awesome looking pack I'm holding. With that same great Vintage Veer taste you love, get one in your hands today. Vintuk Lager and Vintuk Non-Alcoholic are now also available in our unique 440ml bottle shape. Vintuk, 100% real. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.